Welcome, everyone, to the Score Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Boone, the lead fantasy analyst at the Score. Thank you so much for checking out the show today. This is going to be a continuation of Monday's episode, or maybe a part two, if you want to call it that, however you want to look at it. In the first half, we went over the biggest offseason risers and fallers for every AFC team. I talked through all my thoughts on them, just getting you caught up on some of the changing fantasy values. And now today, we're going to do the same, but we're going to do it for every NFC squad. So let's get right to it here. We'll begin with the Cardinals. And who else could be the biggest riser in Arizona but Kyler Murray? The team goes out. They address the receiver core. They add the best wide receiver prospect to come out in at least a few years. Marvin Harrison Jr., the fourth overall pick. So now he's joining tight end Trey McBride, who really broke out last year. He was one of Murray's favorite targets for sure. The Cards also added Zay Jones, who's a competent veteran. He could emerge as the number two potentially, but he'll be battling with Michael Wilson, who flashed a little bit last year, and Greg Dorsch, who always seems to be flirting with being a fantasy option. He just needs to earn himself a starting spot. The talent does seem to be there, though. So this is a much better group than Murray's had recently. And even so, he was still the QB9 in fantasy points per game last year. He missed half the season, came back from injury. And once he was back, he was right into being a solid QB1 for fantasy. And that's what really he's always been. He was a low-end QB1 as a rookie. Then he had a couple years as a top five fantasy guy. And then before the injury in 2022, he was the QB8. And then, like I said, QB9 last year once he returned. So now we're upgrading his weapons. We're giving him a true number one wideout in Harrison, which means we could see Murray challenge for a spot in the top five. So he's an obvious winner this offseason. And I like the Cardinals offense, so I don't really think anyone's a massive faller. Trey McBride does take a small hit because Harrison comes in and he could be a potential volume hog. And really, McBride didn't have any major receivers to contend with last year. So he's still going to be a good fantasy option. He's still going to be a high-end tight end one. I just doubt we're going to see him push for tight end one overall numbers. He might have actually had a chance at that if the team didn't bring in a star receiver, which they did. So for the faller, I'm going to go with James Conner. And I hate to do it because I always feel like Conner's so undervalued. He's been a top 10 fantasy running back on a per-game basis each of the last 3 years. But he's 29 years old. He's missed 4 games each of the last 2 seasons, and now the Cardinals have drafted his replacement in Trey Benson, and they did that at the top of the 3rd round. So we're at a point where another injury could open the door for Benson to take over and maybe to send Connor to the bench for good. And there really just hasn't been that kind of back in Arizona lately. Now there is. So Connor, a riskier fantasy asset, and if he starts the season strong, I would be trading him away if you have him, because it feels like it's only a matter of time before Benson emerges as the starter. On to the Falcons next, and this is an easy one. Almost everybody's a riser. Drake London, Kyle Pitts, Bijan Robinson, even Darnell Mooney can get in on this because Atlanta finally has a quarterback, and you can't undersell the difference going from Desmond Ridder and an Arthur Smith offense to now Kirk Cousins and new offensive coordinator Zach Robinson, who's a Sean McVay disciple. That likely is going to mean more passing. And Cousins, he's not an elite quarterback, but he is a very solid veteran back there. And it's just such an easy act to follow for him. Plus, when we're talking about London and Pitts and Robinson rising, the team also spent their first rounder on Michael Penix and adding to that quarterback room just in case Cousins isn't 100% coming off the injury, even though I do think he's going to be ready. Or if Cousins gets hurt again this year, it's not the end of the world because they have Penix to keep things going. So just a huge improvement overall for the skill position players in Atlanta. And I want as many pieces of this offense as I can get in 2024. Definitely a team that you're going to want to be targeting in fantasy drafts. And then for the faller, there really isn't one. I guess short-term Penix is a faller because he didn't land on a team that's going to give him a starting role right away. So his value drops a little for now. And Cousins is kind of the opposite. He's a faller, but it's more for the long term because that Penix pick, it probably means that he'll be the starter in a couple of seasons. So I'm guessing 2 years for Kirk in Atlanta, and then he'll move on, or the team will move on from him. That's my guess anyway, but those are different kinds of fallers. Those are more, it's more of a dynasty twist on that one. We can keep things going here over to the Panthers, and another straightforward riser on their team. It's Bryce Young. I've already talked about him a bunch this offseason, but we could see a Trevor Lawrence-like sophomore year from Young. Because remember, Lawrence had that really weird Urban Meyer rookie season. Then he gets Doug Peterson in his 2nd year and things start to turn around. I hope that Dave Canales can have that impact on Carolina because They do still have some question marks to address other than the coaching, but they got some new weapons for Young. They brought in wideouts like Deontay Johnson, who we know can create separation, which was something the receivers they had last year could not do. They also drafted Xavier Leggett at the end of the first round and a difference-making running back in Jonathan Brooks and Jatavion Sanders at tight end. Plus, they made some additions on the offensive line. So this is a whole new situation for Young. That makes him a clear riser. And then for the faller on the Panthers, I mean, pick your poison. Jonathan Mingo had about as bad of a rookie season as you can have. Now he's dropping down the depth chart behind those new wideouts. Or Chuba Hubbard, Miles Sanders, they're going to be behind Jonathan Brooks, and that's going to happen the minute that Brooks is healthy. He's coming off that ACL tear. So a few guys on the Panthers are falling down the fantasy rankings. Next up, one of the most hyped teams out there, the Bears, and the riser is Caleb Williams, because I can't think of a better scenario for a rookie quarterback. Chicago didn't wait a year to let him get comfortable and then the next offseason go out and add playmakers around him. They just did it right away. So he's going to have DJ Moore and Keenan Allen and Rome Odunze and DeAndre Swift and Cole Kmet and Gerald Everett. Just a really strong supporting cast there. And with Williams' talent, with that 101 draft capital, he is going to hit the ground running and he's going to push for top 12 fantasy stats in year one. So Williams is a riser this offseason. And the faller here, it might surprise you, but in my mind, it's Keenan Allen, because on the Chargers, he was the man. He was the go-to guy. He was consistently one of the most targeted players in the league over the last five seasons. I mean, if you look at targets per game, he finished ninth in 2019, second in 2020, sixth in 2021, 11th in 2022, and last year he led the league with 11.5 targets per outing. Do you really think he's going to come close to that in the Bears offense? Because I don't. Plus, you got to take into account he's 32 years old now, and I've seen some compelling arguments that he could see more slot work in this offense because of all the receivers they have, he's kind of best suited to do that out of the top three, and that could make him more of the Jackson Smith and Jigba in offensive coordinator Shane Waldron's attack. And Waldron was with the Seahawks last year. Now he's in Chicago. So JSN was definitely third in the pecking order in Seattle's passing game. Now, a lot of this is going to depend on Odunze and how fast he gets up to speed as a pro, but he's a top 10 pick. So they're expecting a lot out of him. It just, it all boils down to Allen having less volume and therefore being less enticing as a fantasy asset in 2024, even though he's still a very good player, don't get me wrong, and this Bears offense is going to be a heck of a lot of fun, but I'm just talking about his fantasy outlook because it's going to take targets to score fantasy points, and there's just no way that Allen ends up leading the league in targets again, and I don't think he's going to get close to the top 10 or the top 12 anymore either. Moving on to the Cowboys, and we could highlight a couple risers in Dallas, but the backs, I think they deserve the nod. Somehow, Ezekiel Elliott finds himself back in a starting role, and I pointed this out last year. He still had enough left in the tank to produce some fantasy numbers when he got the volume, and based on the depth chart in Dallas, he's going to lead this backfield in touches. I mean, Rico Dowdle, he'll work in as well, I would imagine, so Dowdle's a riser too, but Zeke is going to start. And that's a pretty big shocker considering the point in his career that he's at. I don't think he should be anything more than an NFL backup right now, but the Cowboys, they're running it back with Zeke. There isn't really much that could take him off that starting spot out there. I mean, maybe there's a trade late summer, or maybe somebody gets cut at the end of August, right? Like Miles Sanders or Damian Pierce or Khalil Herbert, but it's kind of hard to project that happening right now. So Zeke and Dowdle, they are risers for the time being. And I still like Dak a lot as a fantasy starter. He was the QB5 in fantasy points per game last year. The guy can produce for you, and he's returning most of the same players around him, but he's a faller because the Cowboys, they talked up how much they were going to do everything they could this offseason to win a Super Bowl, and then they didn't bring anybody notable in the passing game. So Prescott, he's a small faller just because he didn't get any upgrades to his supporting cast, and some other guys around him did. Now, for the Lions, I'm surprised that I'm saying this, but Jameson Williams is a riser, and the team didn't make any real moves to bring in another receiver, so it's Amon-Ra St. Brown being the strong number one option. Tight end Sam Laporta is the de facto number two, and then you have the former first rounder in Williams, who has a real chance to emerge as a third downfield target in this offense, and there is untapped potential here. I really liked Williams coming out. You know, he missed most of that rookie season coming off the injury his last year in college, so it's been a bit of a slow burn for him. I don't think that he's going to be a star, but there is a path to a decent target share in this offense, and he started to show signs of it late last year. He had at least 40 yards in five of his last seven games, and he doesn't need crazy volume to produce. He's a big play threat. So don't forget about Williams in the later rounds. I still think he's a long shot, but he's a guy that you could look to. You throw him on your bench and you see what happens early in the season. And then for the faller on the Lions, I know he just got the new contract, but I'm going to say Jared Goff. And it's kind of like the Dak thing. He was good last year, but you would have liked to have seen them go out and get something else in the passing game. And without that, he just sort of stays in the same range for fantasy. And when you have some exciting new rookie quarterbacks coming in and you got some other players' situations improving, it makes Goff fall a couple spots in the rankings. Now, we'll stay in the NFC North for a minute. Let's go over to the Packers, and I am really pumped about this offense. So much young talent in Green Bay, and really only one old guy now, and that's Josh Jacobs. And I know people are worried about Marshawn Lloyd showing up, but I think Jacobs is still a winner this offseason because we've seen this offense operate with two backs plenty the last few years, and it's been a productive one for that backfield. I imagine that most people are bullish on this Packers attack overall, so why would you not want the lead back here? And even with Green Bay often having that split with Aaron Jones and with A.J. Dillon, Jones was still the RB11 in 2022, and that's fantasy points per game as always. And that's when Aaron Jones was 28. Last year, he turns 29, he deals with injuries, so things weren't as good for him. But Jacobs right now, he's 26 years old. He's proven he can be a workhorse, and Lloyd's going to be that change of pace back. He's going to be the explosive guy out of the backfield, but the lead runner in Green Bay is going to produce for fantasy, and that's Jacobs' role entering 2024. He's a riser for me. He's leaving that Raiders offense, and he's ending up in just a much more friendly environment now in Green Bay. And then the faller kind of ties to that. It's A.J. Dillon. Didn't find much interest in free agency. He signed back with the Packers. It was a very cheap deal, so small that he might not even stick around. If Jacobs and Lloyd are healthy at the end of the summer, at best, I mean, Dillon's the third option on the depth chart, and maybe they even just let him go. And even if both those other guys get hurt, if Dillon's still there, he just hasn't done much with his starting chances in the past, so he's a faller. Off to LA, and we'll go to the Rams next. And this one's tough because not a lot of changes in that offense this offseason, and I'll give the riser tag to DeMarcus Robinson, and I want to mention Colby Parkinson, their new tight end as well. So not huge fantasy stars, but both these guys have their value rising because Robinson, he finished last season very strong. He was the Rams' number three wideout, really didn't get consistent playing time until late in the year, but from week 13 on, he was the wide receiver 31 in fantasy points per game. So a wide receiver three in fantasy, and there's no guarantees he's going to keep that up, but given where he's going in drafts, he's worth a late round dart throw because the team really didn't bring in anyone that at least I'm worried about taking his spot. And then Colby Parkinson, he's likely going to begin the year as the Rams starting tight end because Tyler Higbee's coming off a torn ACL. He's also on the older side at 31. And the Rams gave Parkinson a decent contract in free agency. So if you're looking for cheap tight end production early in the season, Parkinson could be a sneaky ad in deep leagues. And then the faller for the Rams, in my mind, it's Blake Corum. He was one of the rookies that I thought was pro-ready. I didn't view him as a standout prospect, but I thought there was a chance that he would get a shot to start right out of the gate. And in this offense, I think he's clearly behind Kyren Williams. And Sean McVay talked about them having similar skill sets. And I see this as the Rams addressing their number two running back spot, not drafting somebody who's going to replace Kyren. And Kyren's the same age as Corum, so this isn't an old back, young back scenario. Give me the guy who's already proven himself in the pros. That's Kyren. And Corum still could have a lot of value if he gets spot starts, if there's an injury. But right now, his situation isn't that much different from some other rookies like Braylon Allen or Will Shipley or those kind of guys who are already stuck behind an incumbent starter. I think Corum is too, and those rookies are going like a round and a half later than Corum in dynasty drafts. The Vikings are next, and the riser here is Aaron Jones. He's about to turn 30 in December, and the Packers decided to let him go in favor of Josh Jacobs, and you thought that might be a huge hit to his fantasy outlook, but he ends up in a really nice spot in Minnesota. The Vikings had a need here. Jones can fill that for at least a year if he can stay healthy. I talked about some of the injuries that he dealt with last year, but he should see plenty of work in this offense. He should get a lot of checkdowns from the rookie QB, JJ McCarthy. And maybe this is just based on my personal expectations and how they were falling when he got let go by Green Bay and before he signed in Minnesota. But the fact that he found a starting role in a good offense, it makes Jones a decent RB2 for fantasy, even at his age. And the fallers for the Vikings, Jordan Addison and TJ Hawkinson, and you have the new rookie quarterback coming in. Even in this system, which has been very favorable for quarterbacks, you have to wonder how many fantasy starters can McCarthy actually maintain. Addison, he's playing second fiddle to Justin Jefferson. Hawkinson's coming off a torn ACL, so he might not even be ready in September. It bumps their values down a bit. Addison into the wide receiver 4 range, Hawkinson into that low-end tight end 1 range, though he might finish the year strong if he can get back to full health by midseason. Now, I don't have a lot of passionate projections and feelings about this next team, but we do have to do them all. So the risers for the Saints, Rashid Shaheed and A.T. Perry. Derek Carr hasn't exactly been lighting it up since he got to New Orleans, but now you have Michael Thomas officially gone. That number 2 job is up for grabs, and the Saints really did nothing to address it. So they must feel good about Shaheed and Perry. Shaheed's been that big play guy, somebody that kind of has fantasy flex value most weeks, to be honest. Perry, still a dart throw entering his second season, but there's upside for both those receivers, and it makes them kind of interesting late round picks. And then the faller this offseason in New Orleans, Jamal Williams. He's formerly the number 2 back there. Maybe he starts the year again in that role, but Kendre Miller is coming for his job, and eventually he's coming for Alvin Kamara's role as well. And at 29 years old, Williams doesn't have much fantasy value left, but hopefully he'll keep pumping out funny interviews. You got to keep a mic in front of him at all times. He is such a character. We love him for that. Okay, the Giants are next, and the riser here, it's got to be Devin Singletary, another veteran back who was starting last season. You didn't know if another team would actually give him that kind of role, but it turns out his old pal Brian Daboll in New York was willing to do it. And some people, I know there's been a lot of talk, Tyron Tracy Jr., the 5th rounder, I'm excited about him as well as a late round guy in redraft or a 3rd or 4th round pick in dynasty rookie drafts, but Singletary is going to be hard to beat out. You got to accept that too. He is just a steady producer. He gets the job done. Coaches like him. They can trust him. So Tracy or even maybe Eric Gray, one of those guys is likely going to work in and contribute, but Singletary is going to have value as a fantasy RB3 in 2024. And the faller for the Giants, it's Daniel Jones. You could talk yourself into the team drafting Malik Nabers and now having that real number 1 receiver and Jones maybe getting healthy at some point. And, you know, can Daboll find that magic from a couple years ago when Jones was a top 12 fantasy starter in 2022? It could happen again, but all the reports, all these rumors about the team trying to trade up for a quarterback or how Drew Lock might get starts this year. And some of that comes back to Jones' injury guarantees, right? If they want to move on from him after the season, maybe they don't want to risk it, you know, in 2024 on a team that probably isn't going to be a playoff contender anyway. We'll see. But Jones's arrow, it seems to be pointed in the wrong direction at this point. Another NFC East squad is next on my list. It's the Eagles. No massive changes here, so it makes it kind of tough for risers and fallers, but Saquon Barkley is the riser. I don't want to harp on the Giants, but Barkley's going from the Giants to Philly. He's getting a huge upgrade in the offensive line, even with Jason Kelce retiring. And this is also just a better offense. There's going to be more sustained drives. There's going to be more scoring opportunities. And if you saw some of the holes last year that they were creating for DeAndre Swift, what's Barkley going to do when he gets a chance to run through those? So he is a riser. And for a faller on the Eagles, I have 2. Dallas Goedert, just slightly. I mean, part of it is that the team added a bunch of interesting receivers who I think could do more with that number 3 receiver spot in the offense, whether it's Anaya Smith or Paris Campbell or Devontae Parker or Johnny Wilson. We could see somebody step up behind AJ Brown and Devonta Smith this year, which they really haven't had in recent seasons. But also, Goddard just hasn't been that great when both Brown and Smith are healthy. So he's a fringe tight end 1, more of a tight end 2 for fantasy in this instance. So he's a bit of a faller for me. And then Kenneth Gainwell, because I really like Will Shipley. I think he's a good athlete. He had some productive years at Clemson. I think they brought him in to be an upgrade at number 2 running back. So now they have Barkley, they have Shipley. Gainwell's fallen down the depth chart and he's fallen down the fantasy rankings too. 4 teams to go here. The 49ers are up and so is Brock Purdy's fantasy stock. I mean, they already had this incredible core with CMC and Ayuk and Debo and Kittle. Now they add another first round wideout and Ricky Pearsall to the mix. And it's not that Pearsall is going to make a huge impact in 2024, not with all those veterans healthy, but Pearsall adds an insurance policy for Purdy just in case some of those guys get hurt. So Purdy's value even more insulated now, and that makes him a really solid low end QB1. And the faller for the 49ers is Elijah Mitchell. He's going to enter camp as the number 2 behind McCaffrey, but Mitchell's had durability concerns. On top of that, I mean, Jordan Mason's been breathing down his neck. The Niners also drafted another speedy runner in Isaac Arendo. They signed Cody Schrader as a UDFA. So maybe Mitchell hangs on to the backup job for one more year, but those guys are going to put pressure on him. And if he does get hurt again, I wouldn't be surprised if he gets passed on the depth chart. And like we always say, you want to invest in the 49ers backfield, because if CMC goes down, somebody is going to have value in this backfield. And McCaffrey turns 28 this summer. I'm just saying, I don't want to spend any time on it. I don't want to jinx him at all. So let's move on to the Seahawks. I'm giving Geno Smith the riser label here, and it's because they kept the band together. Metcalf, JSN, they were always returning, but they found a way to keep Lockett around too. Plus, they re-signed Noah Fant at tight end, which is bad news for Fant, but good news for this offense. And the real reason why Smith is a riser, it's because their new offensive coordinator, Ryan Grubb. He had this very prolific passing offense with the Washington Huskies. I expect we're going to see an uptick in pass volume this year for Geno and the Seahawks. So Geno's a riser. And then it's probably obvious, but Noah Fant's the faller in Seattle. I had some hopes for him if he could find a new home in free agency, somewhere where he could be the guy. But in this offense, he's trapped behind those three good receivers, and that just stifles his fantasy potential. The Buccaneers, this is our second last roster to look at, and the riser here, another quarterback, Baker Mayfield. Tampa keeps Mike Evans around with a new deal. They added some other smaller pieces like Jalen McMillan, who could be a draft steal, and Bucky Irving in the backfield to provide some depth there. And Mayfield was a good QB2 for fantasy with what he had last year. So maybe he can flirt with top 15 numbers this season. That's assuming that the loss of offensive coordinator Dave Canales doesn't set this offense back. And I think they got enough talent. I think they'll be fine, but just wanted to mention that there. And for the faller in Tampa, there really isn't one. I'll say Trey Palmer, though. Not really the most notable fantasy name, but if Mike Evans had left in the offseason, there was a chance that Palmer could have moved up into a top two role in the passing attack. But Evans being back and McMillan now joining the party, it's going to make it tough for Palmer to do much fantasy-wise this season. And then we'll round it off with the Commanders. And the riser here, it's got to be Terry McLaurin. The guy finally gets a top quarterback to work with. Jaden Daniels, the second overall pick in the draft, a really promising young QB. And he took advantage of the talent that he had at LSU. He is going to be able to elevate this Commanders offense as well. So I'm hopeful for a big season here from McLaurin, who really doesn't have much competition for that top spot in Washington. We could see a really big target share for him in 2024. And then the faller for me, it's Austin Eckler. You know, he didn't look like the same player last season. He faded as the year went along, and injuries might have played a part in that, but he's also turning 29 this month. He's talked about retirement the last year or so, and they say when you're having those thoughts in your head, it's likely time to hang him up. But also, Eckler isn't the clear lead back anymore. He was that with the Chargers. Brian Robinson is the starter in Washington. He's the early down guy. He's kind of underrated in the passing game too, but I expect that Eckler's going to play more of the Antonio Gibson pass catching role alongside Robinson. And that just means we have to adjust our expectations for what Eckler is now, because even if Robinson gets hurt, Chris Rodriguez is the power back who can just slide into that early down role. So I'm not even sure that Eckler's value would go up that much in that scenario. So don't overdraft Eckler just based on his name and based on all the past performances. He's just at a different stage in his career now. He's an RB3 for fantasy and a guy that's going to be better in PPR formats. But that is all for today's show. So go check out all my content over at The Score, including the backup running back rankings that I put out on Tuesday. And we got the NFL schedule coming out tonight. So I'll have a couple articles on that by the end of the week. And I'll probably record a podcast in the next couple days to talk about it. But until then, big thanks for following me on Twitter at Justin Boone. Big thanks to everybody out there for listening. And we will see you next time.
Said leave on time, my baby said leave on time. Leave on time with me tonight, I said leave on time.